Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Samantha Berger, Martha Brokenbro, and Dave Pressler, and Bigfoot. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 376 of the podcast with Samantha Berger, Martha Brokenbro, and Dave Pressler. How do authors co-write picture books? What is it like to create picture book illustrations when your background is in cartooning and children's television? Is Bigfoot real? No, seriously, tell me. I had a lot of questions and a lot of fun talking with Sam, Martha, and Dave about their new picture book, and I think you'll have a lot of fun reading it to kids at the start of the school year. Enjoy the listen. Here's episode number 376 of the podcast with Samantha Berger, Martha Brokenbro, and Dave Pressler. Welcome to the podcast, Sam and Martha and Dave. The internet is on our side.
Yay. Wouldn't it be nice to have the internet on your side?
Internet is on your side. Totally is. I believe it.
That's a good jingle.
Thanks. Every time I sing it, I get $25. So I try to... No, that's not true. Not true. Hey, why don't we go around the horn and have each of you introduce yourself and share who you are, what you do. Sam, why don't you start?
I am Samantha Berger, and I write stuff.
Hi, Samantha Berger. What kind of things do you write?
I write lots and lots of picture books and cartoons and comic books, and recently I've been working on some really great projects for Sesame Street.
What? The phone. Oh my word. Okay. I'm going to talk to you about that later. Martha. Hi, Martha. First time caller. Nice to meet you.
Long time listener, first time caller. Really glad to be here. Like Samantha, I also write stuff. I write picture books. I've written middle grade nonfiction and young adult novels. I've also done books for adults, but we don't need to talk about those. Anyway, okay. So glad to be here.
Glad that you're here. Martha, say your last name for me.
It's pronounced broken bro, rhymes with broken toe.
Broken toe. Okay. Well, good to know. Broken bro. See what I did there? That was good, right?
I saw what you did.
Nice. Hey, Sam, air high five.
Totally.
Dave, welcome. Also first time caller. Nice to meet you.
Hey, very nice to meet you guys too. So I don't write, but I draw words. I basically, I work in animation primarily. I've been a character designer, production designer, storyboard artist, show creator for about 20 years. And this is the first time I've illustrated a book, and it was fantastic.
Well, then
it was
Dave,
so much fun.
I'm going to start with you, buddy. What got you into illustration? We got the three of you have your names on this wonderful new picture book, Back to School with Bigfoot. And this is the first time that you're
stepping out as a children's book illustrator then? How did you get involved?
I got involved through Samantha because Samantha and I, she's the connecting tissue of many people. But Samantha and I met at Nickelodeon many years ago, and I was creating a show over there called Robot Monster. And we only got to work together for a brief amount of time. And then luckily she remembered me. And when it came time, from what I understand, to do this book, she suggested my work to her editor. And we went from there. And I got contacted by them. We worked for a few months kind of figuring out, like, how would I draw it? What would I do? And then we came up with some good ideas and we started working on the book. And it's great. It's interesting because I primarily work in TV animation, and TV animation works very fast. It's like we crank things out very quickly. Designs, you just got to keep on schedule and you don't want to lose time and money. But the great thing about books is it moves a little slower. We get a little bit more time to work things through, to find the funny and expand on ideas and stuff. So I really had a good time with the slightly slower pace of book illustrating.
You mean you don't normally take like 3 to 5 years to make an episode on TV? I'm shocked.
Well, usually it does. It takes about 3 to 5 years to do a season of animation. So for one book to kind of, because I think if I broke it down, I cranked out the illustrations in about 3 months' time, from starting from just the rough manuscript to the polished art, and then probably to a few changes before it went to final print. But that, to me, that's a nice pacey project.
But isn't it true though that the binding on seasons of shows doesn't smell as good as the binding on picture books?
No, it doesn't.
It's not good television, Matthew.
Doesn't work. Not the same. So, Sam and Martha, you're both of your names are on this picture book, which is already raises a whole lot of questions for me. That it's exciting to see that there are people that write picture books together. I like this. I like the collaborative nature of this. But did you also know each other prior, or was this like we met and Bigfoot sparkled in our eyes and we knew we had to write something?
I did say, I said, Sam, you got a little fur in your eye. Samantha, we've been friends for years. She's got a character, Martha T. Ottersley, who doesn't apologize, doesn't say thank you. And even though she says Martha is based on somebody else's mom, we know that an unapologetic, rude otter is actually my Patronus. And so Samantha and I, we've been friends for years, and we were sitting around the pool of a fancy hotel in Los Angeles. And we were just joking around because Samantha is hilarious. And we were making jokes. And then she said, that should be a book.
How many times do I say that? Very often. That should be a book. That should be a book.
That should be a book.
That's what it's going to say on my tombstone. That should be a book.
You also said that should be a TV show. And so
that should be a show.
Well, good.
She's a force of creativity.
The force of creativity, no doubt.
And Martha's one of the best writers I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. For real. For real. So I think we may have met at an SCBWI conference in around 2009. My book then was Martha Doesn't Say Sorry. I met a real-life Martha. I would guess that I barged in and said, is your name Martha? Because my book has Martha in the title. And I mean, knowing me, that's probably not that far off.
That's the most amazingly elementary school connection ever. My students freak out when their name is mentioned anywhere in any, like, this book is written by Peter Brown. His name is Peter. Like, they cannot believe that the universe has connections like that, which is neat that you have that connection.
It is.
It's so true. And there's a very beloved series that I will not mention because it's so beloved, but there's a line in it that says, and she gave her doll stupid names like Jemima and Martha. And I closed the book this way. And I said, you're dead to me. Dead. I was 8.
Ouch.
Amazing. Wow. Amazing.
Well, awesome that you met over a name in LA at CBWI, and then have this book to share, not only from meeting that way, but also from your connections with Nickelodeon, Sam. I know through you a lot of connections with Nickelodeon, and I appreciate how much that team there meant to you and has stayed connected with you. Do you mind sharing a little bit about the book itself? Do you want to talk a little bit about what this book is, other than that there is a Bigfoot going back to school?
Well, I just have to say, I'll never forget the day. Martha was, as you know, working on a non-fiction book about Bigfoot. So she was researching Bigfoot all the time, up the wazoo, Bigfoot, Bigfoot, Bigfoot. At the same time, she was taking her children back to school shopping. And she said something to me, I think it was on the phone, it may have been poolside. She said something to me like, it's like going back to school shopping with Bigfoot from the year before. Nothing fits. It's like, it's everything is different. Everything's changed in 1 year. And I said, my catchphrase, that should be a book.
I was about to say it.
And when it came to thinking about illustrators, so I knew Dave's work from Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon out in the Burbank Animation Studio used to have shows, they probably still do, of the artist's work in the hallways. And so I also saw that Dave was a painter and a sculptor and made robots and made these crazy astronaut sloths. And as you know, I have sloth fetish.
That should be a book.
That should be a book.
Sloth fetish or sloth astronauts?
I was thinking astronaut sloth, but for the YA and above audience, we could do the fetish.
Hey, I'm in. We'll talk.
And it's just, one of those things where I knew Dave should do books. He's hilarious. The ways that he bumps up the humor visually is so unique and amazing. And it's the kind of thing that as a child, I would comb over comb over Bigfoot through the pages, looking for those sneaky little moments of like, this kid reappears. This thing is in here again and again. This is like, these Easter eggs are gems to me. So we were so lucky to get this trio. We really were. This was like a real coming together.
We find the same things funny. And if I had any drawing skill at all, I mean, if I could do what Dave did, that's exactly what I would dream of doing. I mean, they're super, super funny illustrations. And I think kids will love it.
My absolute favorite is a back to school haircut takes all day because I am all hair. Yes. I'm in a barbershop with just like a sea of hair. It's amazing to me. And it has, what I think the most amazing thing for me, the drive home, is the Mullets for Aliens magazine that he's holding. Mullets for Aliens. I won a book called Mullets for Aliens.
Well, that was part of what I really had a good time with, is because in the manuscript, it would just say that, they're in a barbershop and they get a haircut, piles of hair, and you think there's magazines and barbershops. And so it was just ripe for more comedy. And I just felt like stuff like that's the fun Easter eggs. And the great thing was, is they liked what I was doing. So if they hadn't, it would have been a different experience. But I haven't met Martha yet. The three of us have not been in a room together yet, but hopefully someday we will.
That is isn't that incredible?
I know.
Can put out, make a book and not have met the people.
I think we should make our first meeting take place in the woods.
Yes. In the where the giant trees are. What is that up
there? He's over there.
That would be amazing. Film it with like a shaky hand. And Dave could like swing his arms as he's coming toward you.
Oh yeah.
Well, that rides. Very famous image though of Bigfoot is that's Patty. She's a woman. She's a female Bigfoot. And I'll let you guess why they've identified her as being female. So it actually, you know, Dave might have to hold the camera and Sam or I might need to do the slow look through the woods.
You mean that's a woman in the costume?
It's never been proven that it's a costume.
Wow.
Well, it's never been proven that it's a Bigfoot, so.
Oh, touché. Yeah.
So, Martha.
I'm a little cynical. I'm a little cynical.
Who isn't?
Martha, I was going to.
You have read my book.
I have been in your book? Wait.
The Finding Bigfoot book that I did with the Discovery Channel. You'll be a believer.
All right, I'm going to check it out.
I'm down. I can't not bring up that we were talking prior to recording about how poop factors is a major factor in the hunt for Bigfoot, and it seems so obvious, and yet it makes me giggle so much. So
it definitely they do it, and actually I would say that poop is not a trivial factor in my book presentations that I do. My first picture book, The Dinosaur Tooth Fairy, I travel around with a fossilized dinosaur turd.
Oh.
And that TSA does not like that. They're always like, what is this thing? It looks like sand through our x-ray. And I'm like, well, it's a coprolite. Well, what's that? And then I explained to them, well, it's fossilized dinosaur poop. And to a man, they all change their gloves after they realize what they've been handling.
I'm picturing picturing Patricia Palaka traveling around on her school visits, letting everyone touch the meteorite, and you're traveling around with like dinosaur poop. Anyone else? Any other students want to come up and touch the poop? That's amazing.
All you know what? I make them touch it before they know what it is, because I find that that gets a better response.
Oh,
but yes,
totally.
I mean, this is the fun of writing for kids this age. Is, you know, the world is new and fresh and fun stuff to experience. And I once walked in on one of my children in the bathroom and I'm like, what are you doing? Because she was holding something. And she says, I'm just examining it. And the curiosity of kids, I adore it.
So, Martha, you and Sam wrote the manuscript before bringing it to, I don't know whether or not you brought it straight to Dave or if you sold it first and then they were looking for suggestions for illustrators. What was the case? When was Dave brought in? I should say that way.
We sold it first. Okay. Samantha and I, we batted a few drafts back and forth, and it was without a doubt the most fun I've ever had writing any book.
Really fun.
What did it look like for you to write a picture book with someone else?
Well, Sam wrote the first draft, and then I responded. And because I knew all of this stuff about what people actually believe about Bigfoot, I was able to put little jokes in there. Like, for example, the teacher's name is Miss Sierra Nevada. And, you know, that's where there's been lots of Bigfoot sightings. And the gag about Bigfoot's always moving during pictures. Of course, you know, the pictures that exist of suspected Bigfoots tend to be pretty darn blurry. And so, you know, we each brought a little of ourselves to the story. You know, we knew that this is a story about going back to school and the anxiety you can feel in that situation. And, you know, with a special Bigfoot twist on it, because his anxiety is bigger. So anyway, the book sold really quickly to Arthur Levine, who I've done several books with, and Sam knows him well, too. And then, you know, I can't even remember a time, really, when Dave wasn't attached. So as soon as that was in play, you know, we just loved what Dave had to bring. I mean, because, you know, it's... a lot of picture books start out with the writers, but then it becomes just as much the illustrator's story. You know, those pictures are not decoration. They drive and expand the narrative. And so it's great working with someone who has such talent.
Absolutely. This is such a collaboration of three wackadoo minds coming together.
Yes. No, it was interesting though, because I'm in Los Angeles, and I think Martha, you're on the East Coast, right?
Oh, I'm in Seattle.
You're in Seattle. Okay. So, and then I know Sam's out here in Los Angeles, but, I was mainly talking to our editor in New York. And so basically, it was interesting because we were collaborating with a go-between kind of, because I would get notes, but I know you guys were getting to look at stuff as we were working.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's true. And, you know, different editors work in different ways. And, you know, I can say, having done several picture books now with Arthur Levine, is that, you know, he really, when he buys a book, it's because he has a vision for it and, you know, knows just how it's going to land with kids and teachers and librarians. And so he doesn't want to let writers mess it up, you know, because we're not illustrators. I'm probably not saying that as delicately and tactfully as I ought to, but really, I mean, he's making sure that this vision, you know, the promise that he saw in the manuscript stays intact, and that we don't, as writers, overstep our bounds. I mean, because it's a way of protecting the illustrator who came to the party last, but has just as important of a voice.
Yes.
I see. Yeah, it's almost like it's almost, if I had to equate it to the animation, it's almost like he's the director. And, you know, is bringing all the parts together with a vision.
Yes.
Love it.
The characters are there, but everything is brought together under one visionary umbrella. And it's so magical to see that happen, be a part of that.
Well, in order for it to be that collaboration too, you as the writer, or as the writers in this case, have to be willing to let it go and see the place where your vision for the story stops, so that it can be blended with and elevated with the vision that somebody else has for the story, or in this case, several other people have for the story.
Well, and yeah. I really believe in collaboration. I think there's this sort of myth of the lone artist with their singular vision. And actually, you know, people working together in a happy, collaborative way produce better work. I used to write an educational humor column for Encarta, which was an online encyclopedia that came before Wikipedia. And one of the pieces that I wrote about was how really good teamwork consistently produces better work than people can do on their own. And that was really instructive for me. I mean, it's just a reminder that I can always, you know, I'm a better writer because I know Samantha and because we've swapped a lot of manuscripts. And, you know, I'm better because I work with talented people and I do my best to listen.
Yeah. But to have that trust, were you able to have that trust since book one, since the very first picture book you did? I feel like that's something that, as I'm critiquing manuscripts and as I'm writing stuff my own, I find that it takes for me an awful lot of trust in letting go in the process, in the story itself, knowing that the story can speak louder than anything I could ever plan for it, that all of us together can hear it and allow it to be what it wants to be.
I think so much of it is that Martha and I had such a friendship right off the bat and such a similar sense of humor. I mean, if you could see our back and forth texts, for example, they just are wordplay, one-upsmanship for days. For days and days and days, and I'm endlessly impressed. Like, Martha can take it to the next level where I've, you know, just when I think I've milked something as hard as it can be milked, there she is with, like, taking it in a new direction. And that's one of the ways that we became each other's first readers, right? Of, like, you have a very inner circle that you trust, that you're willing, because you're bearing your soul when you share your work with somebody. And you're saying, you know, here it is. What do you think?
Exactly.
And so it's really I can't tell you how valuable and cherished that role has been so many times. Martha's seen so many of my books from first draft to publication.
Is this the first time that either of you have written a picture book with somebody else, and do you have plans to try a go again for another one?
This is my first time, and there's going to be another Bigfoot picture book.
Hey, there it is.
Yes.
So yeah, it's going to happen. And Samantha and I are always talking about, I mean, we've got ideas.
That's awesome.
And we do. Yes. Thank
you. Oh yeah. No, I'm committed. We're definitely going to do another one, and I'm excited to get into it. So sooner the better.
Agreed.
So while you all have Bigfoot on your futures as well, can I go around and ask what other things you have coming out? Samantha, I know that at the same time the Bigfoot comes out, you've also got Monster's New Undies. You want to talk about that briefly?
Of course.
I saw that one in draft too.
Yeah, you did. Okay, so they come out on the same day. That's never happened to me before. I have written picture books with other people before, not in a long time, but this one, I've never had two books come out on the same day. It's really interesting. And then I think you know that Mike Corrado and
Hang on,
I...
Something's happening to my audio.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, click, click, click.
It's well, something is just it's turn out there. It's turning my audio down. Sorry about that.
No problem.
No problem.
We didn't hear it at all.
Oh, good.
Oh, but I hear myself now, and it's very upsetting.
Go ahead.
I sound like a Muppet. My voice sounds like a Muppet.
Sam, you were saying about Mike Corrado.
Okay, so Mike Corrado and I, also very very dear friends, are doing a book together called What If with Little Brown. And we just finished that and handed that in. So that's really exciting. And
it is exciting. I love it, it's so exciting. Mike. It's cool.
Yeah. And to have that kind of relationship where you can, you know, he came out to Santa Monica and stayed with me and we were working on the book together. And that was really an incredible, unique experience, that a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And then I work on a bunch of animation projects at the same time, and then I'm working on this project for Sesame Street, which Sesame Street has a branch that is devoted to international social impact. And it is doing books and Muppet spots that reach out to children across the world. They have the first HIV-positive Muppet in Africa. They have created a Muppet named Raya, who is dedicated to water, sanitation, health, and safety in places like Bangladesh. And they are expanding that program to reach Syrian refugees. And that has been one of the, writing that stuff has been one of the most both overwhelmingly heartwarming and encouraging and heartbreaking projects I've ever worked on. So that's been really, I've been really had my hands full with that and my heart full with that.
Well, congratulations. I feel like they've picked the right person for the job. You have a big heart for loving, and I know what you commit to your work. I'm excited to see what comes of that. Martha, how about you? What else are you working on?
This year I have two other books coming out, both in September. September 5th is a book called Alexander Hamilton Revolutionary, and it's the first young adult biography of Hamilton. And I'm incredibly excited about this book. He's such a fascinating man. And so for people who, you know, like the musical, but maybe don't want to read a 900-page book written for historians, which is an amazing book. But if you want more of an introduction that provides a little bit of context, plus a ton of images and documents and really cool stuff, that one comes out from Fywell and Friends September 5th. And then September 26th, also with Arthur A. Levine Books at Scholastic, is one called Love Santa. And this is the book that Again, Samantha helped me figure out how to write it. But it's based on a letter that my daughter wrote me when she was 8 years old. We were swapping a letter journal back and forth. She was struggling with dyslexia and dysgraphia. And so we kept a journal of letters. And one of them said, "Mom, I need to know the truth. Are you Santa?" And so I wrote an answer. And a few years later, with Sam's help, I figured out how it could be a picture book. And that one is illustrated by Lee White, and it's just such a beautiful book and really meaningful to me, because it's about how Christmas retains its magic even when we know the truth about how the presents get underneath the tree. And Lee White did a beautiful job with the illustrations.
That sounds great, Matthew. Congratulations on those books.
That book is so special, Matthew. It is so, so special.
Can't wait to check it out. It sounds so sweet already. It sounds so sweet. Dave, what else do you have going on for the upcoming year?
Well, let's see. Currently, I'm art directing at DreamWorks Animation TV. I'm art directing one of their shows for Netflix. And then next year, probably my biggest thing will be they're going to have a museum show at the Lancaster Museum of Art History in Lancaster, California, and it's going to be a robot show. And I know, right? And they've given me the main room, and what we're going to do is we're going to try and put together, it's a bit of a retrospective of my stuff, I say in quotes. But it's the idea is that sometimes there's always kind of a mystery of creating art and creating things and everything from animation to sculptures. And I sculpted toys for a while. And so this whole idea is what I want to try to do is in one big room, just kind of have the story of an idea and how it comes to be something and kind of just show the work, show the process, but also take the mystery out of it. And then hopefully folks will get inspired and see that, like, well, you know, anyone can do this. And I always talk about that most of it's just keeping your butt in your chair in front of your workstation and not leaving. So a lot of it's just, you know, perseverance, and I don't know how to do anything else. So, but it's going to involve sculpture and animation design. I'm going to have a lot of big sculptures on display, and I'm going to do some new stuff. I'm going to call a lot of people's collecting my old stuff, and we're probably going to have a book. So that's probably going to take most of the year to prepare for.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, wow. But that's the biggest thing right now. There's a lot of other little projects, but I think that's going to be the most fun in 2018.
Well, it sounds like the three of you are so busy with the upcoming months and year, and that's awesome that you were able to not only make this Bigfoot book together, but also that you have a chance to work on another one in the future. And I know also that this means that there'll be lots and lots of students that will get to meet you through your work and hopefully in some cases even in person at bookstores and school events. So as we wrap up our time together, and I want to say thank you for giving so generously of your time, I want to leave you all with a chance to have last word with those readers that you'll be reaching so directly. So I'm going to ask you each this, but we'll just go around the horn again. And Samantha, I'll start with you. I'll see a library full of children tomorrow morning. Is there a message that I can bring to them from you?
Yeah, I would say, everybody has something that's all their own that makes them really special, and find what that thing is and then do the best that you can with what you have to work with. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Just be your best you. And when you're really hungry, go to peanut butter unless you're allergic.
Oh, wonderful. Martha, same question. What message can I bring the children from you?
Okay, so it's almost summer, and kids, I want you to spend some time making something every day, whether it's a sandwich or a new game or a story or a picture. Just spend time making something. You will have so much fun. Also, I love you just the way you are.
And Dave, we'll end our time together with your last word to the students.
Well, I would say the most important thing for this summer is have your parents buy two copies of Back to School with Bigfoot in case one gets ruined or you might lose it or something. So just maybe even buy three. That's my best advice.
Yeah.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 350 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. And Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with the books they'll love. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect any ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Greg Bozzoli returns to share the quest for Z, the true story of explorer Percy Fawcett and the lost city in the Amazon. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep and I'll see you there.